You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network. Welcome to the Master Passive Income Show. My name is Dustin Heiner, and I'm here to help you get financial independence, quit that J-O-B, that just overbroke job, by investing in real estate so you never ever have to work a job again. And in today's show, I am going to show you how to start investing in short-term rental properties as a beginner and how you can do it successfully, because there are a lot of ways to do it wrong. I want to make sure you do it right as a beginner. All right, let's jump into today's show.
Welcome to the Master Passive Income Podcast, where we talk about investing in real estate with a special focus on making enough money so you can quit your job and live the dream life. And now, here is your host, Dustin Heiner.
Hey, what's up? Now, I am so excited to be teaching short-term properties. I mean, I kid you not, like, I've been teaching long-term properties for a very, very long time now. I can't even count, maybe 10, 15 years now, something like that. But I've been teaching it for quite a while. And with that, I've shied away, and I talked about this last week, but I've shied away from teaching about short-term properties on the podcast because I'm not really that passionate, or I wasn't that passionate about the short-term properties. The biggest reason why is because long-term, oh my goodness, they're so amazing. I don't do any work. My property manager does very little work, and the properties keep making me money. Now, this episode is not about long-term property. I got lots of other episodes you can listen to on those. This episode is all about short-term properties and how to do it successfully as a beginner. Now, I personally live in Phoenix, grew up in California, moved to Phoenix, been fantastic moving out there. But now I am fresh off driving through Tennessee for 2 weeks. Actually, we started in RubeCon in St. Louis, the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference. It was an amazing time. We had so many amazing people. And I mean, I could use the word amazing quite a bit, but it was life-changing for me. And I had countless people tell me it was life-changing for them. Just an amazing time to connect with people and get other great real estate investors. You need to come to the RubeCon, to the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference. Check the link in the description. It'll show you, you know, go to the site, see all about it, see the recap, and get your ticket. So definitely do that. But we were in St. Louis, Missouri. And from St. Louis, I thought, you know what? We, my wife, she's tired of desert and cactus and dirt and rocks. And she'd love to have more land, be more green, more seasonality. You know, we have all four seasons. And so we've had many friends move to Tennessee. And in moving to Tennessee, like literally dozens of friends moved to Tennessee. Now, if you think, how many of my friends have moved to Delaware? None. How many of my friends have moved to Oklahoma? None. Like just random states. But I have had lots of friends move to Tennessee. And so we thought, let's go check it out. And we drove through Tennessee for 2 weeks through Tennessee. Absolutely loved it. Very beautiful. Now, it did help that the weather was amazing. It was middle of March to into April. Absolutely amazing weather. Everything was green. But now here's what's amazing is it's the type of place that my wife and I want to live, where we have more acreage. We'd love to get, I don't know, 50, 60, maybe 100 acres. I'd love, like, my goal in life is to have a shooting range in the backyard of my house or somewhere on my property that I don't have to drive someplace to go, you know, shoot up my guns or, you know, having fun with the kids or anything like that. I want lots of acreage. That would be a goal in life, to have a shooting range on my property. Now, with that, going through Tennessee, so much land everywhere. It's not these grids. Like if you're in Phoenix, it's a grid, you know, a street going east and west and a street going north and south. That's really what it is. But in Tennessee, so much more beautiful, green everywhere. Now, we're driving through Tennessee, and as I, since I'm an investor, I start thinking of how we can actually make money in this move, not lose money. So this is where I am now starting to do short-term properties and midterm properties. And honestly, now I am much more passionate about teaching you how to do short-term properties. Because honestly, before, it wasn't a big passion of mine. In fact, I never had a short-term property. They're all long-term, but they make me a ton of money, which is fantastic. But now here's the plan. And in this plan, I'm going to show you how to do this as a beginner. Now, I've taught, I don't know, hundreds or thousands of people how to invest in real estate. Lots of them were long-term, lots of them were short-term. It's really simple when you understand the steps. And I'm going to give you all the 8 steps for your investing as a beginner in short-term properties. Now, what I am personally doing is I've never lived in Tennessee, visited Tennessee for the last 2 weeks, but I've never lived in Tennessee. Now, a good idea would be to move out there and rent a property and see if I even like living there, you know, rent a place and just live there for 6 months and maybe a year or something like that to see if I don't want to move back right away. Well, instead, I own my property here in Phoenix and I currently just got it all furnished for a midterm or short-term property. I got new furniture, got rid of all the old stuff. I basically have it ready for a short-term property. So this is the plan that we're going to do. I'm going to leave my property here in Phoenix as a short or midterm property, more than likely midterm. We have lots of great things for midterm, reasons why midterm property would be very, very worth it here. Now, we'll leave that here. In case we want to move back, we'll have a property, which is fantastic. From there, we are going to move to Tennessee and we're going to buy a property, not rent a property, buy a property that's going to be a short-term property or a midterm property, knowing it as an investment. I'm going to go ahead and buy it, move into it, get it ready, and then move out. If we want to live in Tennessee, we'll buy a new place, one that is more long-term, that we probably live in there and buy some acreage, maybe build a house. But then if we need to move back, we'll have the property in Phoenix still. So either way, we're going to be well set. But here's the biggest thing that I'm doing, though. I'm not just buying any property. I'm not just moving out there and hoping everything's going to work out. I'm literally building a business in Tennessee. And if you have been listening to my show at any length, you know I say over and over and over again, we build the business first. That's long-term and short-term properties, both the same. We build the business first. And with that, what I'm currently doing is I'm building the business for my short-term property. So we're going to walk through how you can actually invest as a beginner in short-term properties and do it the right way. You don't have to be investing in, you know, like areas like Disneyland or Hawaii or these huge destination places. There are many. It's called tertiary. I don't really know what that word means, but my property managers have used that. Tertiary markets. Markets outside of large cities that are still great places for short and midterm properties. Many different reasons why those are good, but that is the idea, is we're going to be investing all over the country and make sure that we're going to do short-term properties the right way so we're not losing money, that we're making money, that we have the people do it, the work for us. And a great thing, here's another thing, it's a huge tax write-off if you have a short-term property as well. You can buy a little larger of a home. Let's say my wife and I, we're probably going to buy a $400,000 to $500,000 house and do a cost segregation study. Might be big words over your head. You might not know what that term is. Basically, I'm accelerating or getting more depreciation, more money off on my taxes by doing a cost segregation study, which makes me pay less in taxes because I'm using that depreciation. Long story short, you don't need to worry about that, but it's just another added benefit of short-term properties. Now, let's jump into the eight factors or eight things that you need to do and know. And now, as a beginner, there are crucial things that you need to know when you're investing in short-term rental properties. The biggest thing is making sure you have all these in place and your business built before you buy the property. The last thing you want is to buy a property and then, oh my goodness, all of a sudden the HOA doesn't allow you to have a short-term property, or the county regulations say you can't have a short-term property, or city or something like that. We need to build the business first. We need to know everything before we buy the property. And the biggest thing on top, I always say the biggest thing because they're always big things, but we build the business, find the right property manager. They're the ones that know the area. They're the experts on the ground, literally doing this day in, day out. They're going to make sure you do it right. So that's what we need to do, is build the business first. So I'm going to give you 9 things that you need to do as a beginning short-term property investor. The first one is you build the business first. Very simply, it is make sure you have every part of the business working before you buy the property. And here's what I'm currently doing. I literally just got off the phone with 3 different property managers in the Tennessee, Nashville area because I want to make sure I'm buying in a good city that actually can rent out the property. I'm also doing my due diligence. I went to the city of Henderson. Hendersonville, sorry, city of Hendersonville in Tennessee, and looked up in the city ordinances, you cannot have a short-term property. It has to be 31 days or more. 30 days, 31 days or more, something like that. And you cannot have a short-term property. I'm like, my goodness, I'm really glad I knew that. Now, I would probably do a midterm property, but I'm really glad I knew that before I started just buying a property and hoping for the best. So we build the business first. The number one thing is find the right area. And we'll get into the area in just a second, but we build the business first. If you take anything away of this how to invest in short-term properties as a beginner, the first steps is to build the business, find the right property managers, right contractors, the right inspectors, insurance agents, plumbers, roofers, realtors, like everybody in the business, even places to furnish your properties, all of these before you buy the property, because they are going to help you to make sure you do it right. I kid you not, I just talked to one property manager, and they are short-term property managers in Nashville. They were saying that if you were not in walking distance of big attractions in Nashville, then it's going to be really, really hard to rent. People really want downtown Nashville. Like the smaller areas outside of Nashville aren't doing so well. Like, okay, check. That's good information. It's a data point or something that I now know that I didn't know before. Then I called another property manager. And then I called another. I kept calling property managers. And then one of my property managers that I'm talking to says, well, this area, Pegram, it's maybe 20 or 30 minutes outside of Nashville, but it is doing really, really well because it's a smaller market. I said, that's interesting. I'm really glad to know that. And if I had not talked to all of these property managers, I would not know this information. And that's why I try to tell you and get it really drilled into your brain that what we do is we build the business first, because then we hire experts who know exactly what we need to do so that we don't do the wrong thing. We don't buy the wrong property in the wrong area. The last thing that you want, oh, one quick thing. So I was talking to the property manager and I said, what I do is I don't just buy a property and then hope to find a property manager. I build my business first. I'm literally telling my property manager this, and I find the right property managers, I find the right inspectors, I find the right everybody in the business before I buy any properties. And that's what I do. I said, oh, that is so good. I did it the other way, and that's such a bad way. This is the property manager telling me this. And he said that that's the right way to do it, which I like, absolutely. How are you going to know if it's the right property, if it's the right area, if it's even going to make you money, or all the above, like how good the property is, unless you actually have somebody who is the expert in the area. So that's the first thing. You build the business first. The next thing is we are looking for the location. Now, in the location, obviously, you're only going to build the business when it is in a location that you want to actually invest in. Now, I personally love investing out of state. I love investing very far. But the reason why I'm investing in Tennessee and the reason why I was driving through the area was because I'm going to be living in that property. Now, literally 30 plus properties now that I have owned or do own, and I've only seen one of them before I buy it. And I've only seen two total out of all the properties. Other ones, I don't even care to look at the properties. I don't even care about like if it's a great area or anything like that, because I have my property managers. They're the ones telling me if it's the right area. So usually I don't even look at the properties myself. Like I don't fly there and look at the properties. I'm going to be doing this, or I will be doing this in other states. And in doing those in other states, I'm not going to fly to those areas and drive around, because I'm going to be hiring the experts. Now, this goes into the actual location. Now, as a beginner, to find the right location, there's a couple things, quite a few things actually, that we're going to be going through, that as a beginner, you need to learn these things. Now, as a real estate investor, there are certain things that strike you or that are more important to you than if you were a homeowner. A homeowner, they look for certain things that are particular to them. But I can be completely honest and say, more than likely, your tenants don't have your exact same tastes or your exact same desires and wants. But there are certain things in an ideal location that you need to have. So as a beginner investor, you want to be looking for things. So number one, you want to look for business-friendly number one in the location, but this is after building the business. You want to find a business-friendly location. And what that means is, are you going to be able to actually have a short-term property? I'll give you an example. One of my friends, Michael Kwan, he actually spoke at the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference, a good friend of mine in my personal mastermind. He bought a property in Las Vegas, and it wasn't even short-term. He was going to do it long-term. And after purchasing the home, he reads the homeowners association documents, the CCNRs. I can't remember what they stand for, but he read the documents. And the homeowners association said, you cannot do any rentals of any kind in this homeowners association. So he wasn't going to move there. So he's like, crap, what up? Sorry, being crass. He's like, oh man, what am I going to do? So he actually sold that house and then bought a house across the street, like across the busy street, in an area that doesn't have the same HOA. And he was able to buy that and rent it out and get long-term property in there and not have to worry about any choice. So business friendly, a lot of cities, they're actually incorporating laws about how you can or cannot have short-term properties. Now, what's sad is you'll get lobbyists or big companies like Hilton and hotels, not saying that Hilton actually did it, but big hotel chains, they'll go to the local legislation and the county, and they will have the lawmakers or encourage them to make laws that make it hard for you and me as a short-term business owner, short-term property business owner, as opposed to the hotels. So they try to keep a monopoly so that anybody traveling that wants to stay for a couple days, you have to go to a hotel. So there are lots of cities now that there's ordinances where it's limitation on how many short-term Airbnb. Now, quick tip, just a quick pro tip that if you are in an area that's limiting that, well, look to see how many days of duration. It might be 29 days or 30 days. Well, if you just do midterm where you rent it for 30 days or more, well, then you're actually fulfilling their obligations or their terms in order to make sure it's a rental. So you're totally fine. Well, that's just a pro tip that you can still do a midterm or short-term property even if there are some laws. So you want to find a good city that has good business-friendly laws where you can actually do the short-term property. Now, another way to find a good investment property is have local reasons, local draws, or local reasons why people should go to that city. Now, if it's literally at a place where nobody ever travels to, nobody ever gets married, nobody at colleges or whatever, then it's going to be hard to get people there. But what are other local draws? Colleges, you know, there are graduations. There are, if there's a population, more than likely people get married, or there's celebrations, there's births, there's possibly deaths, you know, probably deaths. But there are other reasons outside of Disneyland or Hawaii. So you don't have to just invest in these really, really expensive areas because there's a big attraction. No, no, no. We invest in every single area that has local draws. It could be, like I said, a college that has graduation. It could be that there's a good size hospital that needs nurses and there's traveling nurses that you could rent the property to. So local draws, you want to find something that has, why are people moving there? Why are people visiting there? Also, do you have competition? Like, are there hotels there? If there are literally no hotels there, then there might not be very many people that are traveling there. If there are hotels, then probably. Now, the next thing as a beginner, what I want you to know is one of the biggest things that you're going to get outside of building the business, the right location, which is totally 100% right. But at the same time, I want you to realize that there's probably not always going to be the best time for short-term properties, and you might not have it occupied, and you might all of a sudden find yourself in another COVID or something where nobody's traveling. Well, if and when there's something where there's a problem with your short-term properties and you can't get those rented, you want to, and this is another one. Now, I think it's number three, four, whatever point. I don't have the points in front of me. But you want to make sure that the property that you're buying, it is able to make you money in a long-term rental. And so when you rent it per night, you actually make more money. But let's say people don't travel or the economy goes bad and they're not traveling, whatever it might be. You want to make sure that you can actually rent it long-term, because what if they do come and pass laws that you can't have short-term properties? You have to have a minimum 60 days or lease or a six-month lease. Well, then you want to make sure that the numbers, now when I say that the property works well, that the numbers work well enough that you are making money if you had to rent it long-term. I'll give you an example. Let's say one house that you can buy that you could rent it for $1,800 a month as a long-term property. Well, you run your numbers with that, and then you know, just because you're going to be making more money because short-term properties make more money renting out per day than per month or per year. If you know that you can make money with the property as a long-term property, then without a shadow of a doubt, you're going to make even more money if it's a short-term property. So key point is make sure that you're buying a property and that it makes money. And my suggestion, $250 a month in passive income as a long-term rental, that is a big, big deal because you don't want to be stuck where you can't make money and you're really, really hurting. So that's a big deal. Another point is you want to have a very low average purchase price. Like you want the purchase price of the home to actually be very, very low comparative to how much you could rent it for. I was just talking to that property manager again in Nashville, and they were saying, oh man, you can get 100% occupancy in Nashville if it's in downtown where it's walking distance to these, I think it's like Bridgestone Ballpark or whatever, like these big draws, like these big, huge things that people go in and watch concerts and all that sort of stuff. Well, that's well and good, but if you have to spend $2 million to buy a property and your short-term rental is going to make you a little bit of money, let's say you make $500, but you're having a $2 million mortgage, well, if that place actually has something wrong with it and you can't rent it out, or let's say somebody stays in there, they give you a bad review and then you can't actually keep it rented because people are seeing that review, well, bummer. What happens then is you have that big mortgage, $2 million a month mortgage, whatever that mortgage payment is, let's say $5,000, whatever. You have to pay that payment. So you want to make sure that you are having a low average purchase price. So those outside areas, outside of the big cities, are really, really good, you know, tertiary markets. So if you're in Los Angeles, try to find outside, like the cities around. I would not suggest investing in California. Don't hear me say that. I'm just picking a big city and saying invest outside of those cities because people are going to need to stay there too. So you want it to be just outside of a larger city where people can fly into. Now, you also, here's another big thing. As you are figuring out which area and as a beginner, how do you make sure that you're going to be making money? Well, you need to count all of your expenses. Count all the costs, the Bible says. You need to count all the costs before you actually do anything. With that, you're going to count up, obviously, very quick and easy ones, mortgage payment, taxes, insurance, property management fees. The property manager I just called, he said 15%. I'm like, I didn't tell him this, but I'm like, that's actually pretty good. 15%, you take care of all the work? Sign me up. So property management fees, vacancy factor, like how often would it not be rented? You want to account for those. Now, if it's a short-term property, you also have to account for pest abatement, you know, getting rid of pests, termites and ants and all that sort of stuff. Then yard. You need to pay for the yard to make sure that's taken care of really, really well. Electricity, you don't have tenants that could take care of that. Internet, you definitely need internet. If you don't have internet, it's going to be bad. If you're going to have a TV like Roku or Netflix or something like that, you're going to need to have that as well. You're going to have these other expenses that are added on. Now, I'm currently creating another Greenlight Deal Analyzer for short-term properties. So keep an ear out, you know, because we're on a podcast, keep an eye out or keep an ear out for that as well. That Greenlight Deal Analyzer for short-term properties, because you're also going to have to account for other things like the furnishing of the home, constant maintenance on the home, because you're going to have more wear and tear on the property with more tenants coming and going. What about soaps? You know, short-term property tenants, they are in there for 2 or 3 days. They're expecting a hotel type of experience where you are actually providing these little amenities, that's what it's called, a little amenity that's going to help them as they stay there. They're going to feel like, oh man, this is like a hotel. That's really what it's going to come down to. Little soaps, maybe if you get a bottle of wine, like a really cheap bottle of wine, but just put that in there, that's going to be going really, really far. The detergent for your dishwasher or your laundry or fabric softener, all those sort of things are things that you would not have to have if you had a long-term property. Now, when you hire a property manager, they're going to take care of most of that for you. At least the good ones will, meaning they're not going to pay for it, but they're going to make sure you have the right things inside there. And now another thing that you need to, as a beginner, when you're looking at short-term properties, you need to look at the high average nightly rate as well as occupancy. Now, you're going to have high and low rates, high season and low season. High season, which means people go there more, so there's more demand, which means the cost is higher, or you know, how much they're going to pay for that room is higher, the house. With that, you want to look at the highest nightly average rate in the area, but then you also want to look at the lowest average rate. And trust me, there's a lot of work, that a lot of due diligence you're going to need, which as we're doing at Master Passive Income, and obviously at Master Passive Income, we coach all this sort of stuff. So if you needed any coaching, we'll have that for you, how to calculate all this sort of stuff, how to do this the right way, and even calculate the lowest and highest average and all that sort of stuff. It's really not that hard, but we'll walk you through it. But you need to know the highest average rate and the lowest average rate, the nightly rate, as well as occupancy. How much of the month is it actually rented? Is it a place where it's only rented on the weekends? Is it in a college town where there's sports that it's only rented during one season? You know, so those are lots of things that you need to account for as you're booking out your property and seeing if it's going to be a right fit. Because if you don't have these things in mind, you might be buying a property that's actually going to be losing you money. But the backup is you're going to know 100%. Without a shadow of doubt, you could rent it as a long-term property because you bought it knowing that if all else fails, I can still rent it as a long-term property. And as a beginner, when you are looking for short-term properties, you need to find the right location that has all the things we just talked about, local draws, that's business friendly, a lot of other good businesses in there, larger city that has tertiary markets all around, higher nightly average rates. You want to have a low purchase price, make sure it honestly can rent as a long-term property and still make you money. You want to make sure you have all those on top of calculating all your expenses to make sure you're going to be making money. Because in the end, what you're going to do is you're going to find that you're making more money per night as opposed to a long-term property, but you're also going to have more expenses. A huge key tip is you can find in the Midwest, even in the North, obviously, especially in the Northeast, they built a lot of duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes. Well, if you look up in realtor.com and you look up multifamily, that means multiple families in one property, you can get a duplex or a triplex or a fourplex, and every single one of those, you'll have multiple tenants inside of those, which is going to increase the value and increase the money that you're going to be making on all of your properties in the passive income, as well as you're going to have, in case one property is not rented, the other three, if you had a fourplex, the other three are currently rented where you're not bleeding money, you know, because you're not having one property rented. So those are the key things that you need to be doing as a beginner investing in short-term properties. And stick with me and Master Passive Income, Dustin Heiner. I mean, Charles Rose Jr. and William and myself and Zach Zimmer, we're all here to help you to invest in real estate. Get my free real estate investing course, masterpassiveincome.com/free course, or text the word rental to 33777. I will literally give you my real estate investing course absolutely for free, but you are absolutely awesome. Thank you so much for being here, a part of the Master Passive Income podcast. And I hope you have such tremendous success in your real estate investing to get financial freedom. And that is it for today. Go ahead and get my free real estate investing course. Text the word rental to 33777. R-E-N-T-A-L to 33777. You can also join my Real Estate Wealth Builders group coaching. Get all my courses. All right, guys, we'll see you in the next show. See ya.